You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Made it to a Friday. It's a Meat Friday. We got wings on the Traeger. Come on in, stay a while. Check in with the Packers again. I don't know if we have more drama in the on-deck circle there. Jay Billis covered the draft last night. Get his thoughts on that. Any surprises? Also, the Russell Westbrook trade to the Lakers. Chris Mannix will stop by a little bit later on as well. Phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates around the country and also our TV partner, Peacock. You can download the app and watch all 3 hours for free. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that on the horizon. 25 years ago, the NBA had one of its more notable drafts. You had Hall of Famers in there. You had Allen Iverson. You had Kobe Bryant. You had Ray Allen, Steve Nash. That's a pretty high bar. Hard to imagine last night's draft will have similar results. Now, there were some interesting picks. The experts are saying it's a deep class. Top picks seem safe. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley. Maybe it went sideways after that with the Raptors selecting Scottie Barnes out of Florida State. The Thunder took an Australian guard named Josh Giddey. The Warriors took a guy out of the G League, Jonathan Kuminga. So you really never know. I mean, we think we know. We love to give out draft grades. The 96 class, that was one of the great classes that we've had, certainly with guards. And maybe there's some hidden gems. Always feels like there's one in the teens where you go, wow, he slipped all that way. But it seems a lot more likely that we're going to have to be patient with these players because they're so young. They're all freshmen, 18, 19 years of age. And maybe someday we look back on this draft as being something special. This program is brought to you by the great folks at Simply Safe Home Security. They've been making you feel safe at home for the last 15 years with Simply Safe. There's always somebody there who has your back to keep you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com, customize your system, and get a free security camera. Some of the headlines here with the Lakers, with the trade, with Russell Westbrook. Also, the Dodgers getting Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Anthony Rizzo goes to the Yankees. The Red Sox get Kyle Schwarber. There's also the Chris Bryant situation. He's been linked to the Mets for a couple of weeks now. I know that Javi Baez is also in the discussions as well. John Heyman is tweeting out that there is the possibility Javi Baez could go to the Mets and be teamed up with his good friend Francisco Lindor. Bryant and Baez are possible for the New York Mets with the trade deadline. Getting Scherzer, they needed to get Scherzer. You get Scherzer, keep him away from the Padres. The Giants were also in there. You have the Trevor Bauer situation here, and now you have a formidable rotation. The Padres needed Scherzer, in my opinion, because we're starting to see some flaws in that rotation there. Trey Turner gives them another all-star in the infield. Rizzo is a great pickup for the Yankees. I think Kyle Schwarber going to the Red Sox could be one of those moves come postseason time where you go, oh, that's right. They got him from the Nationals. And probably not a lot of headlines attached to that. But getting Scherzer, keeping him away from the Padres. And if you're the Dodgers, you just hope that you're able to kind of get this back together somehow. You know, but you've got all-stars at every position, basically. And you're still waiting for Cody Bellinger. And you may be waiting a long time because he is disappeared. But you won the title and the Dodgers are going to reload. I like when people get upset. Oh, the Dodgers are buying a World Series again. The Yankees did this forever. The Red Sox did this. Cubs did this. You know, we tend to single out or we forget. We're like, oh, the Dodgers doing it again. Okay, well, the Dodgers are doing it. Dodger fans are okay with this. It's like when the Yankees did it. Yankee fans were okay with this. It's when somebody else does it. You go, wait a minute. All right. So the Red Sox were trying to buy a couple of them, just like the Yankees did. The Dodgers, Cubs. But Max Scherzer's a good pickup for them. But you're going to be basically using him this season. That's probably it at his age. Yeah, Paul.
Nobody complains about the Yankees buying World Series anymore.
No.
They haven't done it in like 12 years.
No, they want them. They complain they're not buying a World Series.
Right.
When are we going to buy another World Series here? What the heck is going on? But, you know, they pick up Joey Gallo, and then you pick up Rizzo here. They got a lot. That's a softball team. That is a softball team. And how did the Yankees respond last night? They got blown out. Gerrit Cole, what was the final? 14-0 by the Rays?
Yes. Gerrit Cole, not as good all of a sudden. I wonder what changed over the course of this season.
All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. The Jets signed Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson looks like somebody who's going to play somebody who's going to play a football player. Like, if they had a movie on the show One Tree Hill, it'd be One Tree Hill starring Zach Wilson. He looks like he could be Zac Efron. You just see him and you go, oh, somebody brought their kid to practice today. He's not going to shave for his first contract, probably. But they got him in camp, and everything is right in the world with the NFL. Zach Wilson is in camp. He took the red eye. So he's on the West Coast, and then he took the red eye to get ready to show up at camp. No word on Simone Biles' weekend. It's starting to feel more and more like she is not going to compete again because she's got these twisties they talk about. She talked about this, and it's messing with her head. And you could see, and this is what I brought up when we first saw her bow out of the team competition. Just look at her face when she landed. She's almost in shock or scared or whatever description you want to attach to it, that you knew something was wrong. Because normally you're taught to always have that smile on your face. Like you want to show the judges, this is what I meant to do. You want to sell it. There's an actor in you. And she was not selling anything there. So would I be surprised if she competed? I would. At this stage, I would. McLovin, what's poll question? By the way, we have four different wings today. We have honey sriracha, traditional buffalo, barbecue wings, and peanut butter and jelly wings on the Traeger.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Peanut butter and jelly. Have you guys had this before, Paulie?
I love peanut butter and jelly, and I love wings. Hence, this is going to be awesome.
But you haven't had
never.
Peanut butter and jelly.
I never even heard of it.
I haven't either. But Tyler, the creator, who, of course, the host for Chat Row, is also our part-time chef / cook, and he takes care of the puppies as well. McLeod, by the way, people...
Usually all at the same
they
time.
They do. People have... So Weeks is our cameraman, and he's a great cameraman. No, he's a great cameraman. What he does, that he's a great cameraman. I pull in yesterday. I went home, dropped the dog off, came back, and I see Weeks, our cameraman, is mowing the grass. Like, there aren't a lot of cameramen who part of their job description is, hey, we need you to do the handheld for 3 hours, and then you mow the grass.
I don't know that you want to say that out loud.
Why?
Because Weeks might be like, oh, I thought this was just what it was. I didn't know.
No, everybody has different jobs here. It's not just, we have 12 people who work here. And we make this happen with those 12 people. And that's why I'm so proud of this place, because you're asked to do a variety of things. I mean, the big German was the general contractor for the build out of this. Now he directs the show. The graphics guy, Dylan, he was doing the dishes yesterday. And he did dishes better than he did the graphics. But it's okay. I mean, there's a margin for error here. We're very lenient on that. Yes, McLovin?
Before I give you the poll, there's breaking trade rumors. Apparently, the Sixers are offering Ben Simmons to the Bucks for Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Bryn Forbes.
Okay, I see what you did there.
Three first-rounders.
And three first-rounders. Oh,
my God.
But that is if KD and Kyrie aren't headed to Philly.
If I'm feeling a little down, I just look at what teams offer or the Sixers are asking for with Ben Simmons. It's crazy. It's like the Golden State Warriors. We'll take the 7 and 11 pick, James Wiseman, and we'd like three future first round draft picks. What?
Is Steph on the table? No. Okay. All right. Just had to check.
Yeah. Back to the big news with the NBA, with the Lakers trading everybody for Russell Westbrook. There had been talk about this a couple of weeks ago. And I said at the time, I don't like this. I don't like Russ's tempo and how that would match with LeBron. He's not a good shooter. And they didn't address their biggest need, and that is shooting. They're going to have depth issues, but you got to have a shooter. And Russell Westbrook is not a good shooter. Teams are going to force Russ to shoot. They're going to say, go ahead, take these shots. Because I don't want Anthony Davis or LeBron beating me. If Russell Westbrook beats me, fun. I'm sure that something will come out where somebody will have some information that will convince me, maybe otherwise. But Russ has been on four teams in 4 years. And there's a reason for that, because he's not the answer. Russ is a wonderful player, one of my favorite players to watch, except for when he shoots jumpers. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's going back, you know, to Los Angeles. He played at UCLA. But I just don't like what he does and how he does it. He's a singular phenomenon. But in the team concept, I just don't see it. And I wonder if they're playing half-court basketball. How does he fit in there? He's great in transition. I just don't know, can you be in transition with a 37-year-old LeBron James as your point guard? Now, Kuzma, I think, had to get out because he'll flourish. I do. I think that he needed to get out of L.A. for his own good. He may not realize that, but he will. He needed to get out so, okay, stop being the Laker off the court as well. Play basketball. Be great. You've shown signs that you can be a very good player. And maybe he develops into something special. But, you know, Montrezl Harrell, you're not going to miss him. I mean, maybe depth-wise, but he had one more year. Caldwell Pope, I like a lot. I do. I think he's very valuable. Undervalued. But to get Russ, I wanted Buddy Hield. Because Buddy Hield is buckets, man. And you got to have that guy who's a legitimate, lethal three-point shooter. And he's a lot younger than Russell Westbrook. But maybe you couldn't get him. Maybe the Kings said, hey, you're offering that. It's basically what they offered to the Kings for Buddy Hield. They sent that to Washington for Russell Westbrook. Yeah, McLevin.
So we were going to do the poll. Who would you rather have on the Lakers, Russell Westbrook or Buddy Hield? Paulie actually has a case for Westbrook. He's the only one in the room who does.
Okay.
I'm not especially a Russell Westbrook fan or detractor, but if you look at the Lakers, one of their big issues is their two-star players need time management. You know, health issues. Davis has health issues. LeBron needs time off, managed minutes. Russell Westbrook needs none of that. He rarely gets injured, and he rarely sits out. He plays the past 8 years, he's played 80 games, 81, 80 games. And then the past 2 years, he played the max number of games. He always plays a lot of minutes. Now you have an alpha dog type player who can get a lot of minutes for you during the regular season. Let's say Anthony Davis is out for 2 weeks. Russ will pick up those minutes and scoring, no problem. And if the other guys are off, I know from a basketball standpoint, it might be messy. Also, Westbrook last year, his shots were way down. He took four fewer shots a game than the year before in Houston, and he led the league in assists. Maybe he is morphing into a passer more than a shooter. He only scored 22 points a game last year.
Yeah, but they need shooters.
Well,
that's the problem. He might score for you.
Oh, I agree.
Still need shooters.
But they got a guy who's going to be on the floor for the entire whatever game season next year. And that's big because they miss that.
Well, it would help if Anthony Davis showed up in shape. And, you know, the guy you have to limit the minutes is LeBron, but LeBron doesn't want to limit his minutes because he was trying to win the MVP last year. But if you're saying to Russ, just full speed ahead and, you know, keep us in every game in the regular season, let LeBron and AD take over once we get to the postseason. Yeah, McLevin.
I was a little worried when I heard LeBron and Russ have this budding friendship. It gets back to that Aaron Rodgers thing. Do you want your stars bringing in their friends? I don't know that that's what happened.
I got to take emotion out of this. It's like when Aaron Rodgers was upset that the Packers got rid of some of his friends. Take emotion out of this, because that's what you have to do when you're a GM, when you're a coach. You have to take emotion. Players don't take emotion out of it. They add emotion. Chris Paul, to me, would have made more sense. Kyle Lowry would have made more sense. But maybe they, you know, they couldn't offer what they needed to offer for those players, or maybe they truly aren't available. Chris Paul, I think, is still looking at that three-year extension for $100 million to stay in Phoenix. But the Lakers are still the team to beat out West, in my opinion. I think what the Lakers did it make them better? Potentially. But I think even with LeBron and AD, they would still be the favorites. I don't think Kawhi Leonard plays next season. I don't.
Hot.
Coming off that knee surgery? I don't think so. I don't know. That's not one of those, hey, you had surgery and basically in and out in one day. He got a long haul there. He's not going to play the first. He won't play before Christmas. I mean, I just don't see that happening coming off that. And I think he will be even more tentative, conservative with that. And the Clippers probably will have to do that. Denver, does Denver scare me if I'm a Laker fan? No. Does Utah scare me? No. Does Portland scare me? No. Clippers don't scare me. Phoenix does. Phoenix, because they got a taste of it. And can you continue to rely on Chris Paul to play at a high level? So if I'm the Lakers, all right, I brought in Russ. I didn't really need to bring Russ in. I still would have liked Buddy Hield. All right, we'll check in with the Packers coming up. Dan Orlovsky from the Mothership will join us. And phone calls are always welcome. Jay Billis will stop by. And Chris Mannix will assess. We'll get his thoughts on the trade. I thought my Warriors were going to do something. I thought they were going to make a move last night. And it looks like Bradley Beal is content. He might be more content to stay in Washington now that Russell Westbrook's gone. It's kind of strange when you go, no, I think I'm good here. I'm good. I think I'm all right here. All right, 17 after the hour. We'll settle on a poll question right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Stifel. Stifel is going to help you. Remember that name. When it comes to managing investments, they've been doing it for over 130 years. They know what they're doing. And maybe you changed jobs during the pandemic. Maybe you're considering retiring, but you have the money to retire. What's that portfolio look like? Is it invested appropriately? These people are going to be able to come in and say, this is what you need to do. And you can't afford to make mistakes. Stifel has helped clients just like you create a personalized retirement plan, understanding your options for claiming Social Security, implement an investment portfolio designed around your needs. Stifel clients have access to Stifel's award-winning equity research and investment strategy view, so you're going to make more informed decisions regarding your portfolio. Find your Stifel financial advisor at stifel.com. You spell it S-T-I-F-E-L, S-T-I-F-E-L.com. Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE, stifel.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Pick up a bag of Penny's Bang Biscuits, available at danpatrick.com. Each 1 pound bag, dog food. Gourmet biscuits, all natural ingredients. Great reaction to this. And 20% of all the Bang Biscuit sales given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry, available at danpatrick.com. I mentioned our great radio affiliates. We're numbering nearly 400 cities in America. Toledo, Fox Sports 1230, Fort Wayne, ESPN Radio 1380, Manhattan, Kansas 93.7 KMAN. Thank you for your support of this program. I got a poll question for you, McLovin, before we get to Dan Orlovsky. How about this? Next LA team to win a title: Lakers, Clippers, Dodgers, Rams, Chargers.
Angels get on there or not? Let's be realistic.
Well, you can. I mean, put the LA Kings on there too, I guess. Lakers, Clippers, Dodgers, Rams, Chargers. Let's say we took the Dodgers off of that, because they're expected to win. They just got Max Scherzer. Lakers, Clippers, Rams, Chargers. So it would come down to the Lakers and the Rams and the Chargers, I guess.
I saw Justin Herbert walk into camp the other day. He looks ready to go.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, like that second-year quarterback MVP
thing? Is he taller?
Thing?
Is his arm bigger? Like, what happened? Yeah, Paul.
I'm going to back McLovin. Remember when Justin Herbert went with the buzz cut and a lot of people were bothered by it?
Yeah.
He let his moss grow back.
Yeah.
Huge for the odds.
All right. Is Dan Orlovsky, that's Dan Orlovsky, set to join us here. The ESPN football analyst who joins us on the program. Dan, who has the best chance to win, the Rams or the Chargers, in your opinion?
Oh, definitely the Rams. One, established coaching culture with McVay. Two, they've got an absolute superstar quarterback that's proven it year after year after year. I love Justin Herbert, but 1 year doesn't make me believe that you're going to be the same guy year after year. I think it takes 2 or 3 years to really figure out who you're going to be at that position in the NFL. I think that their offensive line has played together longer for the Rams than it has for the Chargers. I love the moves that the Chargers made up front, but that cohesion's got to come together. I think that they've got the best player in football that probably isn't a quarterback, or Travis Kelce, Aaron Donald, and Ramsey, two of the best at least. So I would say the Rams, but the Chargers are no question about it coming.
The Zach Wilson showing up for camp now and the expectation level. What do you think the expectations are on Zach Wilson his rookie year?
Yeah, they're unrealistically high because everyone saw what some of the plays that he was a part of in college, some of those jaw-dropping moments, some of those throws where you just go, you're not supposed to be able to do that. If you had asked me that four months ago, my answer is a little bit different than it is now because of the tragedy that happened to Greg Knapp. And that's the kind of the sad truth of the situation. He's walking into a relatively difficult situation right now. I mean, he's going into a room that does not have a guy on that quarterback room or in that quarterback room that has ever taken a snap in the NFL. Now, just because you have a veteran doesn't mean you're going to be great, but goodness, it helps. Imagine trying to learn how to ride a bike and no one can teach you how or no one can show you how, because none of those kids have ever done it in the NFL. I think the second thing is his offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of Green Bay, his brother, he's never called a play in the NFL. And while I love the scheme that he's bringing, and he's been around Kyle Shanahan for a while, calling plays is a completely different animal. I have been around a lot of really, really, really good coaches, super smart, great offensive minds, and they can't call plays because calling play is rhythm and it's art and it's feel. And then third thing is the loss of Greg Knapp. Greg Knapp was one of the best quarterback coaches in the NFL who had just a track record with young quarterbacks. And he's a guy who had experience calling plays in the NFL that I would imagine Mike LaFleur was going to lean on some. And to have those three pieces not in place, that's some real, I mean, obviously real life adversity with his passing, but also some just football adversity with Zach Wilson.
Who should trade for Deshaun Watson and when?
When is when you are 100% sure of what is going to happen with the off-the-field allegations. I don't think you can be 90%. I think you'd rather be late to this party than early because what the allegations are real, real stuff, right? And so I think you've got to be really confident in the information that you get, whether that's your own people and what's going to happen or word from the NFL. I think the teams that are attached to him are the two likeliest, whether it's Philadelphia or Miami. You know, both had the capital to do so going into next year's draft. Both have, you know, somewhat question marks at the quarterback position. I think Jalen Hurts is a guy that we've only seen get better over the last 4 years. We've watched him play football, whether it was at Bama, Oklahoma, or last year. And I love the kid, and I love his attitude. Will he continue to progress good enough to be a thrower? And then for Miami, this is a huge year for Tua.
Yeah.
Whether it's expedited or not, it's huge. I mean, they spent three picks on their offensive line in last year's draft. Those guys are going to be much better performance-wise this year. And then those skill position players, I mean, they got four guys that are good players, man. Five guys. Devontae Parker is a good player. Waddle is going to be an impactful guy. You know, Will Fuller, when he's healthy, can go. And those two tight ends, Gesicki's phenomenal. And Hunter Long out of Boston College is a really, really good player. So I think they got some really good skill position guys. He has got to go and play really good football.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership this Saturday, there will be 11 hours of original live programming across ESPN and ABC. Dan will be part of NFL Live back together Saturday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern. And you can see Dan with Laura Rutledge, Marcus Spears, Chris Mortensen, and Adam Schefter. We always love to give out grades or who won, who lost. How did the Packers do this week, Dan?
I think the Packers had a huge win. I mean, a week ago, it was like, it sounded like Aaron Rodgers not coming. I was adamant, like, I don't think he's ever going to play for Green Bay again. And if you go back to the moment they selected Jordan Love, right, the moment they take Jordan Love and move up in the draft to take him, I would put myself into Brian Gutekunst, their general manager's shoes, and he would say, what's the ideal situation over the next 2 years? He would say, well, our football team's going to be really good. Aaron Rodgers will be our quarterback for at least 2 more years. He's going to play awesome football, and we can develop Jordan Love and still be a contender. Like, that would be the ideal utopia home run situation. Well, that's exactly where they are. And that's why I think, like, the fact that they got him to come back and they don't have to rush that quarterback on the field and he's still going to play high-level MVP football and they're still going to be in the conversation for the NFC title game and the Super Bowl, like, I just feel like that's an absolute home run for the Green Bay Packers. Now, what it means for February of 2022 and beyond, obviously there is going to be some, you know, very interesting conversations. But they got their ideal situation, their hopeful situation. And that's why I think Aaron, I think it's all, what did Aaron actually want? Because I've heard people say, well, he was just saying this because he wanted to try to get out after this season, or he really wanted to get out this season. Well, I guess we'll probably never know exactly what he wanted, truthfully. But I just feel like Aaron having to come back and still not exactly control what he can do after this season, you got to feel really good if you're the Packers fan that, you know, you got the best of both worlds, essentially.
Yeah, I think you got him. He's a one-and-doneer. I also, you know, Vegas has Packers over-under at 10 wins here, Dan. And they're playing in a suspect division, and they have to face the AFC North and the AFC West. Those are arguably the two toughest divisions we have in football. So yeah. I think, you know, you can have lofty goals if they're going to win 13 and go to the NFC title game. I wouldn't be so sure with that just because of the schedule that they're going to have to face. They may breeze through, you know, their conference. They may get tripped up by the Bears one time or maybe the Vikings. But AFC North and AFC West, that's tough sledding.
Yeah, Dan, I'll say two things. I think they're a championship roster. I really do. This is the same football team we watched win a ton of games the last years. I don't know if they're a championship team. Like, I just don't know how what has transpired over the last 4 months. I can sit here and say, like, yep, no doubt they're a championship team, because there is those things that you can't measure that matter. And this is a football team that has not focused on football over the last 4 months, at least in the forefront. While Tampa has, and Seattle has, and the Rams have, and Washington has, like, those teams have been locked in on football, and Green Bay hasn't. And I think their schedule is very difficult. I'd say two things that really I'll be focused on, because I think they'll be really good and they'll win a bunch of games, all that stuff. Like, is there a different sense of urgency by everybody? You know, like, will the coaches coach in certain situations differently because of we got one last year? Like, hey, fourth down, no. And I know I'm not just bringing this title game, that field goal opportunity, but like maybe even the regular season, they'll be more aggressive in certain situations because they know they have a smaller window. And then how often do they keep the main thing, and that's winning. You know, we've watched them bring Randall Cobb back, and Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, said, yeah, it was because, you know, Aaron wanted him back. Well, is that keeping the main thing? Like, how does it all work together? Because there might be decisions throughout the season or moments throughout the season where, like, do they do things or say things or make decisions based upon this might give us the best chance to keep him around after this year, or does it give us the best chance to win? Sometimes those will align and sometimes they won't.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, when the GM, we applaud Rodgers because of full transparency at his press conference. When the GM, Brian Gutekunst, has full transparency, basically saying, hey, I didn't want to bring in Randall Cobb. We did it. We did it as a favor for Aaron. And then people are like, oh, I can't believe that he said that publicly.
Right.
I just don't know how much is going to be too much in this situation for the front office to go, Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I was around Matthew Stafford in Detroit when he was a little bit older, and they would always, like, I guess, get his input on certain situations and or certain people. How much they weighed it in different conversations, I don't know. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the main thing is the main thing, right? And how I believe that's the case for Aaron. But different vantage points are different vantage points and how they view things differently. And I just – it's obviously a delicate balance that you've got to be very, very good at and very firm with, because general managers are paid to run teams and quarterbacks are paid to be the face of the organization. And that's multifaceted. And they haven't done that enough with Aaron, but you also don't want to give full power to any single individual.
Safe travels there, Dan. It's always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, ESPN football analyst, and NFL Live back together coming up this Saturday. That'll be noon Eastern, 9 to noon Eastern, with Laura Rutledge, your host, Marcus Spears, Chris Mortensen, and Adam Schefter. Brian in Michigan joins us on the program. Hi, Brian. What is on your mind today?
Hey, guys, real quick. I'm a Packer fan. Just kind of want to give my quick input here. It's kind of fascinating, the Packers situation. I've always been kind of curious where he's going to finish his career. I think since 2014, since that NFC Championship loss, he just wore it on his face. He looks so telling that he wanted to make some changes, and it's kind of surprising he's waited till now to actually speak out publicly, not passive-aggressive, but actually address the Green Bay media and the folks. But what do you think of this? I don't think he pulls a Favre and sticks it to them by going to a division team. I think he plays in the AFC 1 year. He'd turn into going 40 into 2023. He'd be 40 during the year. I think goes right to Tampa. Doesn't pull a Tom Brady. He just becomes Tom Brady. And it kind of sets up perfectly. Say Tom plays two more years, Aaron won in the AFC, and he just goes right to the Bucs. I'm sure there'll be a great roster at that point still, and he's got a shot at the Super Bowl, I think.
It's possible, but I don't know if you want to follow Tom Brady. But, Brian, thank you. Plus, the Packers aren't going to let him go. If they're going to trade him and you're giving up pieces for Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to take Aaron Rodgers for 1 year. I mean, Denver makes sense because not winning a Super Bowl, sending him to the AFC, and good luck in the AFC West there. That couldn't come back to haunt you. If you let him go to now, you're saying, hey, he could stop over 1 year in Denver. It's just not going to happen because Denver's going to have to give up a lot. And Rodgers doesn't get to pick, hey, I want to go to this team. I mean, I don't think Rodgers is vindictive in a way that Favre was like, I'm going to play for the Vikings. I can't see Rodgers going, I'm going to the Lions. And I'm going to come back and haunt you in the division. I just don't see that happening. He's got to win. He's got to win another championship. And this gives him the best chance. Where he goes from there, then he has his say. So this all comes back to Tom Brady. These other quarterbacks went, you see what Brady got to do? He got to bring in his friends. He got to have a seat at the table. These other quarterbacks are going, I'm sure Ben Roethlisberger's like, hello, anybody? I don't know what Drew Brees' input was with Sean Payton. Philip Rivers, what kind of input did he have? How much do you earn? And I want you to help me with free agency. That if I'm a GM, I say to Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, thinking about this guy, what do you think? Got any relationship with him? Do you think he'd be a good addition? You do. Okay, here's his number. Will you call him? Okay. So he helps you, but that player will help Aaron Rodgers as well. I love that. Now, should Aaron have been consulted on who you're bringing in to be his head coach? Yes, I do believe that. Even if you just give the background and say, hey, we're going to hire this guy, Matt LaFleur, but you know we want you to meet him too. Or we want to give you a heads up here with that. Now, do you tell him, hey, we're going to take Jordan Love? You know, that comes down to what is your relationship or lack thereof with Aaron Rodgers? Because Tom Brady's involved far more than I think everybody realizes. Because why wouldn't I bring him into the inner circle here? But if you're bringing Tom Brady in, then you have to bring him in all the way. If you bring Aaron Rodgers back, then bring him back all the way. The only chance you have to keep him is if you bring him back all the way. Are you going to go above and beyond? Are you going to go overboard? Yes, you will. But the only way you keep him is if you say to him, we're listening to you. We heard you loud and clear. Play of the Day's up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Swing and a drive. Deep right field.
Wow.
It's going to go, and this game is over. It is a walk-off grand slam for Brad Miller, and the Phillies have won it. A stunning end here at Citizens Bank Park as Brad Miller reaches home plate. The Phillies celebrate a walk-off grand slam.
First walk-off home run of Miller's career. That's courtesy of WIP, Phillies Radio Network. And that is your play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, and financial support crew. Go the extra mile taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Joey Votto set a Reds franchise record homering for the sixth consecutive game. And that matches a streak. The last time we had that was Kendrys Morales homering in seven straight games in 2018. I also was watching Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit a three-run bomb out of Fenway. They said it went 436, something like that, as the Blue Jays roughed up the Red Sox last night. So that's your play of the day. We'll get more phone calls coming up. Jesse in Los Angeles. Jess, good to have you back. What do you think of the trade by the Lakers?
Oh, you know, I'm not a Laker fan, so I'm a Kings fan, Dan. You know that. So I'm all armor up for the Kings. But it was a great news day yesterday in L.A. And just in sports in general. I mean, I started off with Suni Lee's incredible all-around performance, taking home gold. We got Rodgers roasting his bosses for 20 minutes, which I think is something we've all wanted to do. Then Turner and Mad Max hitting the Dodgers so we can, you know, hopefully repeat. We got our Sacramento Kings getting a pretty solid two-way player in Davion Mitchell. And then the best news of all came at about 6 p.m. last night, Dan. UCLA and the Rose Bowl have officially agreed to sell beer again at UCLA football games. So now when the Mighty Bruins are tied 7-7 at half with Hawaii, I can officially be six beers in. So now that that's over, I had to ask you and the boys, what are the most creative ways you've snuck in alcohol to games?
Okay, I don't know if I ever have, but then I've always been working these games. College at the University of Dayton, the Welcome Stadium, guys that I know tied a rope around a keg and they pulled it up the wall and it went up a couple of hundred feet and they got a keg into the football stadium. But they, you know, you're pulling it up inch by inch, you know, and you had like four or five guys, pull, and then they tapped the keg once it got in. Yeah, Seton.
I know a dude who used to take a syringe and take like Twinkies or any kind of spongy cake and inject Jack Daniels in that and then just eat the cake. Or like whatever the Twinkie was or whatever he had. Yeah.
What do you got in the bag? Twinkies? All right.
Just Twinkies.
Keep moving.
Okay. No problem.
Why are you falling over every time you take a bite of your Twinkie?
Yes, McClellan.
When I was a kid at Veterans Stadium, and I swear this is true, the people next to us had a fake wheelchair that they put a guy in with a beer ball underneath the wheelchair. And I mean, you know Veterans Stadium. Would that surprise you?
No, it would not. Pretty much nothing that happened at Veterans Stadium would surprise me. Paulie?
I never got that creative. I would always put the beer in my wife's purse. They don't seem to give the my wife a hard time.
You're a flask guy.
I'm a flask guy. If you pop a flask in your back pocket, it's one of those curved flasks.
Yeah.
They don't really say anything. And then you just get yourself a drink or you just sip out of the flask.
Brian in Wisconsin joins us. Brian, what is on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Daniel.
Hey, Brian.
You guys are talking about Aaron Rodgers here again. What is your thoughts on, let's say he hypothetically plays safe to keep himself unhurt for next year, if this is a hypothetical situation, you know, or does he go out, does he get hurt the first game in, and then he's not worth so much the next year? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I brought this up, that let's say you're not as good as people think you are. Do you then want Jordan Love to get some reps here? If he does get banged up, how quick is he to want to get back out there and maybe risk further injury, a more serious injury? I don't know. I think everything's on the table as far as the speculation goes here. If you're the Packers, do you acquiesce to him and say, Aaron, what do you think of this move? Like, do you get to the point where every move you make, you go, Aaron, thoughts? Then you drive him crazy. He's like, just come to me for the big things. Oh, okay. We just wanted to include you. I don't know how petty this gets. Just the fact that the GM said, we wouldn't have brought in Randall Cobb unless Aaron wanted him. That's not a ringing endorsement for Randall Cobb. Instead of saying, you know what? Aaron opened our eyes up to Randall Cobb. We forgot about it. He was available. He's going to be great with Devontae. Like something other than, yeah, we didn't really want him. But, yeah, you know, I guess he's a really good clubhouse guy. I like guys who are really good on the football field, guys. There's guys, like I could have been a good clubhouse guy, but hey, you get me on the basketball court? Eh, not so much. Yes, McLean.
Why haven't the Packers gotten that next step? Isn't it more defense than Aaron Rodgers? I know they stalled in the third quarter or whatever last year in the playoffs.
Aaron Rodgers has not performed well in NFC title games here, folks.
But is that part of it, though, because they got run over all by, remember the Niners ran all over them, and yeah, last year Tom Brady didn't have much trouble carving them up.
Yeah.
So can he help with their biggest problem, maybe defense?
Well, if you're playing well, maybe you put up more points, then maybe you give your defense a little bit more of gray area there. I don't know. Yes, Tom?
Do you think Gutekunst poorly worded things, or that was just a shot at Rodgers because he felt like he had to sneak something in after getting beat up after what Rodgers had to say?
I don't know Brian Gutekunst. He's never been on the show. I don't think I've ever met him. I don't know if... I have to imagine he's been roughed up here in the offseason. Now, how did you allow it to get to this point? And then maybe you get up there, and then your ego, we always want to have the last word. Whenever you have a discussion with your wife, you got to have the last word. No, you don't have to. You know, hey, we appreciate, you know, what Aaron, now we have a greater appreciation for what Aaron was going through. And he's right. You know, we could have listened to him more. And we will. Like, that would have been my approach. I don't have to set the records. You know when I set the record straight? When Aaron is gone. Then I can say, you know, there's some things that came up that, you know, that wasn't exactly true, but whatever. In this moment, I'm going neutral. I'm going vanilla. Let's start playing games. Let's get to the preseason.
You're on to the preseason?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not. We're on to the preseason.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Imagine if it worked out perfectly for the Packers. What if the Packers somehow won a Super Bowl this year and then they move on and Jordan Love actually becomes great? Those guys have the lifetime hall pass. I mean, that's the upside of this. There is some upside.
Yeah, they just don't know what they have in him. Because at this stage, you should have an inkling of what you have. He didn't even suit up. I mean, it's 2 years of prep. And he still might not be ready anytime soon. Jay Billis, we'll get his thoughts. The draft last night. Also, what's he think of Russell Westbrook Jr. III going to the Lakers? Chris Mannix will have an opinion on that or two. He'll join us a little bit later on. It's a Meat Friday. Wings four ways. Honey Sriracha, traditional buffalo barbecue, and peanut butter jelly on the Traeger. Back after this.